Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 115 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
It's good. We're talking about back to school today, which feels a little...
Why are we doing that?
Crazy.
I know.
But it is coming.
And for some people, it's already here.
It is. I'm starting to see the first day of school pictures pop up in my social media feed. So this is going to be fun. We have done several back to school episodes before, being that this is our third season of the podcast, if you will. So... I think what we're going to do today is just kind of to give you guys a snapshot of what this coming school year is going to look like in our families. We have eight kids between us, ranging from preschool through high school and beyond. So I think this will be really fun. We'll just talk about our own kids, what grades they're going into, and that'll bring up all kinds of topics. And then for those who haven't heard our previous back to school episodes, we will link to those in the show notes and kind of reshare those this fall as well, because we've covered a whole bunch of back to school topics. So
yeah, we've done it a whole bunch. And I want to say the first time we talked about it, Clara might have been going into kindergarten, maybe, or maybe first grade. It was, I mean, we've really hit this. So it's very different in my house now. So
it is crazy. All right. Will you update everybody about our growing network first, Megan?
Absolutely. Well, we are growing and we just brought on a brand new show called Make Light with Karen Walrond. If you're familiar with Karen's work or not familiar with Karen's work, she is obviously the voice behind Chukunlux, which is a blog that has been around since like the old school blogging days. Like, she was one of the idols back when blogging was kind of new on the scene and has continued just to be such a respected voice in the space. She's a photographer. She teaches photography classes. She's an author, has a book coming out very soon, and had actually done a few episodes of The Home Hour with me when I was hosting that show. And so she was always really great on air, on
she has a beautiful
audio,
speaking voice.
She's got a beautiful speaking voice and always has interesting things to say. So she is doing a series of interviews with people who are featured in her new book that's coming out soon. And they are mostly, I believe, interviews with women over 40 or women 40 and up is what she's focusing on for this series.
Yeah, they're artists and authors and movers and shakers, light seekers, as she calls them. So, the name is kind of a play on her work in photography, but the people she has on her show are not just visual artists. They're all kinds of cool people. So, she will be at least three episodes, maybe four episodes in by the time you guys hear this. So just search Make Light in wherever you get your podcasts, or go to makelightshow.com or go to our website and you'll see, obviously we're cross promoting because it's part of our same little network. So we're really excited.
Yeah. And we've got a couple other things coming down the pike pretty soon. So we will share that as soon as we are able, but all good stuff.
All good.
And it's happening kind of quick.
I feel like when we had a stable of three shows that are actually up and running and thriving, it's starting to feel real. So for those who have been supporting us and following along and rooting for us, thank you so much. Because there's a lot of work behind the scenes. And now it's just this little baby network. So it's fun.
There is. Yay.
Okay. So I've really been wanting to say this line about our next sponsor. And that is this podcast.
I know. You've been really sitting on this.
This podcast is made possible by Magic. No, seriously. Magic is our sponsor today. And Magic is a 24/7 text-based personal virtual assistant. So what that means is, how if you text a friend like, hey, can you help me out in this way? It's like texting a friend for a favor, any favor, personal, business.
Right.
And a real person texts you back. This isn't like Siri or Google. And we've talked about how those are actually some great ways to automate and make your life efficient, too. But that's not what this is. These are human beings who reply right away to your text. And you and I got to try out Magic. So we have to tell people what we asked Magic to do, because this is a truly amazing service.
I have to admit that when I first got texted from, I got a text from Magic. Magic texted me and it literally said something like, hi, I'm Magic. You just got Magic. And I didn't know what to do at first. I was really paralyzed because it's like, what do you do if you can do anything? So I went with the obvious one. I'm coming out to see you in California in just a couple of weeks. By the time this airs, like just in a week.
Yep.
And I really hate the process of renting a car.
Yeah.
So I kind of went a little cliche and had that done for me magically via Magic.
Yep.
It was so easy. I just texted Magic and said, hey, I'm flying into LAX on X date and I need a car for this many days and I'm like dropping it off. And they just did it for me. And yeah, it's all reserved.
And I can't overemphasize the fact that they are real human beings, because you can ask them, because there's a lot of things that you can do by text now and on your mobile phone. But the fact that it's a real human, like some of the things that I really appreciated about the service is I could give them a budget. I could give them sort of like nuanced instructions like, hey, I don't want this to take too long. Don't spend too much time on it. You know, maybe spend 30 minutes looking into this for me and then just do your best. Like lots of like, I don't know what you would call that, like softer intelligence instead of just the facts.
Right.
And they will respond. They'll be like, yeah, that's no problem. And they update you frequently. Yeah. So we should say how this is paid for. First of all, they are offering 3 hours free. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if you're listening to this and liking it, you get 3 hours free to try this out, which is amazing. But the way it is normally paid for is it's an hourly rate and they charge by the minute, but only when they're actively working on your tasks. So I had 5 free hours to try as part of our partnership with them. And I was really, I guess because I am kind of controlling, I asked a lot of questions like how much time do I have left? How long has this taken you? And I was very impressed with, they're not going to spend 5 hours renting you a car at LAX, or they're not going to bill you for like lag time in between tasks. So they're really efficient, which means you're paying for the actual time that someone has spent outsourcing all these things that you know.
And they were really clear right up front how long they thought it was going to take too, which I liked. Like I estimate this will take me 20 minutes.
Yep.
And then if it goes over, I'll let you know. So it was just, yes, I agree. It was very, like a very honest way of doing business.
Yeah. And easy to use. There's a whole bunch more that you can check out on their website, stuff about if you have concerns about privacy and security, because you know, you can enable them to rent a car for you and they might need your credit card info. So you can look into all of that. I felt really secure and safe. I have to tell you what I had Magic do. I'm going to tell you real quick, two things. The first thing was my dog was getting groomed and I did not know what to tell the groomer about how to groom my golden doodle. I realize this is the worst first world problem ever, but this is a new dog for me and
awesome.
I didn't want him to look ugly. So I said, can you Google images of golden doodles and then not just send me the images, but send me like the vocabulary to use so that my dog doesn't come out looking super poodly. And that was my first request. And I wish I could link to, maybe I can link to the 2-page thing they put together, but it was exactly what I wanted. It was like the images and then it was little bits of commentary. Like if you like a more poodle look, some people go for this and this, and it was amazing. So I know that sounds really frivolous, but I didn't have time to do that. I wasn't going to do it. And it was super helpful.
I bet your magic consultant probably had a really fun time with that assignment.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure they were laughing, but I can't be the weirdest request they've ever had. Okay, and the other one relates right back to our back to school topic. And that was, we were heading off for a pseudo vacation. We went up to my parents and it's not a total vacation, but I didn't want to be on my computer the whole time. And so we had just gotten our school supply lists, 2 different lists for my 2 different elementary schoolers. And I said, hey, Magic, if I forward you these school supply lists, can you shop for the best rates on Amazon, fill my Amazon cart to the best of your ability? I said, I like Prime shipping. I'm okay with buying in bulk a little bit if it's cheaper. And just do your best. And then I will go in and make the final decision, because, you know, it's school supplies. And so there's some parts I wanted to at least see, but I can't tell you how awesome that was to go in and my Amazon cart was already full. And then I just went in and I was like, yeah, I realized, oh, we already have a pencil box. So I took that off. But just that was, I don't know, felt like saving me hours of time.
It's a big load off.
Yeah. So are you guys ready?
So did you say
three free hours is $110 value, you guys. So there's no reason not to try this. And I really want our listeners to tell us what they ask Magic to do.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love this too. Yes.
Okay.
Screenshots, please.
Yes. So you go to getmagic.com/mom. That's all. Getmagic.com/mom. Or you can text mom, if you're on your phone right now, you can text the word mom to 83489 to get started. You will have to sign up for an account. They'll probably need your payment info just to get started, but that is 3 free hours. And again, you can ask them, they won't go over that 3 hours without your permission. So you don't have to worry about that.
Awesome.
And yeah, we get to review a lot of, you know, different apps and services. This one was very unique and we had a lot of fun. So thank you. Thank you to Magic.
Thank you, Magic.
Okay.
Magic is great.
Yay, magic. Okay, should we actually get to our topic here?
Move on.
All right.
Yeah, we should, huh?
I decided how we're going to do this, as per usual.
You did, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you did. You're the one who directed it.
Yep. So we're going to go youngest to oldest, starting with you. So your youngest and then my youngest. And we're just going to kind of tell our listeners what grade they're going into. And I kind of put a couple prompts here for us. So like anything this child is looking forward to, or maybe that's changing this year for them. And then also anything they might be apprehensive about or were apprehensive about for them, or kind of an area that maybe we're hoping that they grow in this year. So all that kind of stuff. So why don't you kick it off with Clara?
Sure. Well, Clara, believe it or not, is going into third grade.
Oh my gosh. She's your baby.
There are some, I know, she's my baby. And third grade, first of all, is a big deal. I remember third grade for myself. Well, first of all, third grade is the only grade I can like really remember super well. And I think there's a shift in consciousness that really happens around that age where kids just become a lot more aware. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot more going on. There's a lot more responsibility on the children. So it's like, it's a very big deal. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple other big things that are changing this year. First of all, Clara will be the only one of my children in elementary school.
Oh.
And I think that has not happened since Jacob.
Right.
I've always had a sibling pair in elementary school, and she will be on her own. And that gives me, like, just saying that out loud just hurt my heart a little bit. Now, she won't be totally on her own because Ruby, her cousin, is one grade ahead of her, and Luna, her other cousin, is two grades below her. Okay. So she's going to have kids to walk with, you know, whatever I end up doing as far as dropping her off. She's going to have kids to walk in with. It's not going to be the same as just like being on your own. And of course, it's not that way. Anyway, she's gone to the school now. This will be her fourth year at the same school. But gosh, it just feels like a huge, just feels like a really big milestone.
Yeah.
This is also when school starts to get kind of more serious for parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's going to have legit homework.
Yeah.
And expectations, and she's probably going to have a planner. I think this is the year they all get planners.
I think my kids are getting planners.
But
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it feels like everything kind of ramps up in third grade. And so I'm really excited for her. She's become so much more adult and mature, and she had a great second grade year. So I'm a little bit on pins and needles to see who she gets as a teacher.
Yep.
Because I know that's going to be a big deal to her. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how this year pans out, and knowing that like maybe not having the comfort of an older brother in the school with her might, last year, Owens was in fifth grade, and he was her class buddy. So they matched the bigger kids up with the littler kids.
That?
And I think he was actually her buddy two or maybe even 3 years in a row.
Oh.
And now, like, she won't even have a buddy because now she's almost an upper. She is on the top floor now.
Yeah.
So she moves upstairs. That's another big, huge change. This is like, it's just a big change. It's a lot of things changing all at once. Yeah.
So your elementary still is kinder to fifth. So she is starting kind of that upper half of elementary school.
She
what time does your elementary
like
school
upperclassman.
Start?
It starts at 8:25.
Okay. And when's her first day of school-ish?
Her first day of school is the day after Labor Day.
Okay.
So, and of course, you know, I'm not here to do most mornings anymore because of my early morning schedule. So we had a great caregiver that would come in the mornings and get the kids off to school last year. And I'll probably have her again at least a couple days a week. And then, you know, I'll try to work out my schedule that I can be there one or two days.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay. So
still have a little one.
I'll start with Violet, who is going into her second year of preschool. She's 4 and a half. Last year was her first year of preschool, and she did 3 days a week. Last year we started with 3 half days, and we've talked about preschool on this show. Our half days are a little better than some programs that are like 2 hours.
2.5 hours.
Our half days are 8:45 to 12:15, and they have lunch there. So that's 3.5 hours.
That's decent.
As any mom with a half day preschooler knows, it's like, it seems like you're going to have time. And even if your preschool is close by, it just feels like you just drive back,
drive home, take a shower. You got to go. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So last year, we started her at 3 half days. And a month or two into the year, she noticed that after lunch, the kids lay out their little rest nap mats. And she said, I want to stay for nap at school, which I knew was only because she wanted like a little blankie and a pillow and she thought that looked cool.
Right.
But it was right as our, you know, the podcast and work was ramping up. And I said, OK, well, let's try that one day a week. So last year, after about a month or so, we ended up doing Mondays and Fridays were half days and Wednesdays she stayed until about three. So the point of all that is this year, all 3 days will be the full school day. So she'll go 8:45 to 3. She's in her same class with her same teachers. She had a teacher turnover midway last year. Her teacher got married and moved off to be with her husband. But it's co-taught with two preschool teachers. So really only one of them changed over and it was fine. She wasn't too traumatic. And those same two will be her teachers this year. So same classroom. That's pretty typical in a Montessori. They keep the like 3 through 5 year olds pretty much in the same class, which I really like. They get to be now she'll be one of the older ones this year. But have the same routine, same teachers, same classroom. And I love this preschool. I mean, we've been there since we moved to this area. So I guess it's my fourth start at this preschool.
Yeah.
One thing that's different for her is that she was mostly friends with the kids who were that older year last year, and they have all gone off to kindergarten. And I don't know if that has really hit her yet. I think she'll be fine. But when I think about who's coming back, I think all of her close friends have moved on to kindergarten. So that could be interesting.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Very social.
Yeah.
Both in the good ways and the bad ways. I think I've talked about her. She gets her feelings hurt early or easy, and she kind of can get into social issues more easily, but she's also really likes friends and playing. So, so that's kind of what she's looking forward to. I'm looking forward to those longer days. They do.
Yeah, I was going to say 8:45 to 3. It's a day.
Yeah. It's like a real,
so much more time,
real school day. And they do nap, which I don't love because she doesn't need a nap anymore. If she takes a nap, it's like comes back to bite us at bedtime. She's not as tired.
Yeah.
But they do this thing where they have to lay quietly for about 20 minutes. And if they don't fall asleep, they can get up and do something quiet while the younger friends sleep. So I'm hoping that that's the routine.
You might find this year that she never falls asleep.
I hope so. Last year, I feel like it was about 50-50.
Yeah.
And the teachers laugh at me because I'm always like, did she sleep? Because it makes a difference in my evening by like a factor of an hour, hour and a half. So they always like, by the end of the year, they were like, yep, she slept or no, she didn't. So kind of hoping
that's
she
funny.
Doesn't. But all right. So that's Violet.
Oh, okay. So now I go with Owen. Oh, my goodness. Owen's going into middle school.
So sixth grade, right?
So sixth grade. Yes, he's going into sixth grade. And Owen is just the sweetest little dude. And he still comes and curls up with me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he likes to give me hugs. And he's very sweet and sensitive. And he got glasses a few months back, I guess maybe around the holiday. I can't even remember now how long it's been. And that really changed his look. I feel like that they fit him perfectly, but he kind of did this leap from little boy to suddenly like this legit older kid looking thing. And now he's going to middle school. So he's going to be, you know, the sixth grader, the freshman, the incoming frosh.
Right.
But his cousin Jack is in seventh and then William is in eighth. So he's again going to have buddies.
Right.
And I haven't decided yet whether he's going to ride the bus or get a ride with family. Like Jenna teaches at the same school, so she could drive them, but he might just take the bus with Will. I don't know how that's going to look. Just so much.
So you and I talked about this a little bit when I was out visiting you, and it does sound like middle school is harder academically, but he's really, he thrives in that, right? Or are you worried about
it? I don't worry about him academically. He may have a little bit of an adjustment period because I think elementary school was really easy for him. And I think there may be more expectations he's not prepared for. I also think three schools coming together, because three schools feed into this middle school.
Okay.
The competition will be higher and he's pretty competitive. I think he's pretty confident in his status as one of the higher academic kids in his class, where in his current school. And I think he might find that these other kids give him a bit of the run for his money. I think he's the type that will rise to that challenge. I think they also do a really good job in this particular sixth grade or middle school of isolating the sixth graders to some extent. They get babied a little bit still. Like, it's really a gentle transition. So they don't just all get dumped into the halls together. They're kept pretty separate. And the class, it's like a transitional year, kind of learning how to be a good student. And seventh grade is actually the year that I've heard that kids have a harder time.
Okay.
I've had that experience too. Because seventh grade, it's like, now it's for real.
You know,
you got to do this. So I think he'll be good, but I think he's going to be more intimidated than he'll let on.
Right. And how about socially? Are all his friends moving up with him, and is that pretty easy for him? Or is
all
it,
of his
that
friends moving
like
up with him?
I feel like there's a lot of changes. Yeah. Even if you have good friends, I feel like middle school just shakes things up.
Yeah, it does. My experience, and this is like a total generalization, but my experience is that my boys have hung on to the same friends much longer than my girls. In fact, Jacob has all the same friends from fifth grade, which is when we started here. No, he's not close with all of them the same way anymore, but like the core friends he still hangs with. And Isaac, same thing. You know, there was a couple kids who kind of fell off and other ones that came on, but like that core group has been pretty drama free. And yeah, Will has made new friends and lost some, but really, like, it hasn't been painful. It's just been different. I'm hoping the same thing will happen. I think having brothers at home and cousins to hang with really makes a difference, because you just, and no one individual friendship matters as much.
Right.
Because it's like you always have something else to lean on. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen with him. I'm sure, you know, he's got a couple of besties, and I'm sure they're not all going to stay besties through elementary school or through middle school and into high school. But he's pretty matter of fact about that stuff so far. So hopefully he'll stay that way.
That's awesome. As you're talking, I'm remembering that we did a whole episode about the middle school years. And if our listeners, if anybody has an entering middle schooler, I know a lot of our listeners have little kids, but not all of them. So if you have a kid going into middle school, just search middle school at themomhour.com, because we just did one episode. And of course, it was one sided, right? Because I'm a couple years away from this. So it was just me asking questions and you talking about all of this, the transition into middle school and all the things they go through in middle school. So that would be a good one to go back and check out if you have a middle schooler.
I might need to listen to it for myself just to remind me.
Owen, I love it. Okay, well, we're gonna take another quick break before we go into the other half of our brood and talk about another sponsor, and that is That's It. These are the fruit bars we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So it's two servings of real fruit packed into a snack bar. Gonna be such a go-to for snacks and lunch packing this back to school season.
I've already got my little back to school snack thing loaded up with them, so
you are ready.
Except no, because then the kids found it and now they're
gone
there anymore.
Well, That's It, I mean, their name speaks for itself, but that's all it is. It's just two servings of fruit, and they're all like apple and pear or apple and blueberries, and there's no added like sugars or concentrates or juices or any of the things that some quote unquote fruit products have. So it is literally like eating that piece of fruit, but on the go, always in season. So of course we love our fresh fruit, but I know one of my kids is really picky about the texture of fruit. She's a great fruit eater at home, but in a packed lunch, she gets real weird about cut up fruit or things that turn brown or things that, it's just, so this will be perfect for her because it is nutritionally the same as those fruits just packed into a bar. So,
And around here, I have to point out that we don't have in season fruit all year. Yes. So this is a great alternative. And if your kids really like, you know, like fruit leather or fruit snacks or fruit bars, like that flavor, but you don't feel great about all the additional stuff that's in them, this is like a really great alternative.
I agree. And even my pickiest kid just put one out the other day and he ate the whole thing. Like, you know how with the picky kids, you don't really like, you don't want to talk too much about it. Put it there and see what happens.
Here it is.
So you guys have probably seen That's It at Whole Foods, Starbucks, CVS around town, but you can also go to thatsitfruit.com and use promo code themomhour for a discount. We'll be talking about them more on social media. They've been a great partner of ours and we're really grateful. So definitely check them out as you think about back to school lunch packing.
Cool.
All right. So we have more children in our collective.
More children.
Our collective litters.
Turns out there's a bunch of kids in our houses.
We have a bunch. So I think it's my turn and I'm going to go with Reed.
Okay.
So Reed is going into second grade. And last year, for those who've been following along, I talked periodically last year that we were at a brand new school. Like, it opened its doors last year. This is its second year. And it's a kindergarten through eighth grade charter school focused on science, technology, engineering, math, and the arts. Charter schools are free, if you're not familiar. So they use public money, but often have sort of like a different approach to the public school. So that's just a little background. And we're happy. It was a kind of a rocky road the first year because it's a brand new school. It's like starting a brand new business. There's ups and downs and a little bit of turnover and stuff that has to be figured out, but we feel really happy there. And so Reed was in a kindergarten first combo last year. There's quite a few mixed age classes at our school, which I like for a lot of reasons. But he was the top, he was a first grader in a K-1 last year. And this year I'm pretty hopeful, and based on different indicators, I don't think he'll be in that situation. I think he'll hopefully just be in a true second grade, which I think will be good for him. I think this will be a good year. This is because he switched from his preschool, then he stayed for kindergarten at his Montessori, then we started the new school. So I feel like this is finally a year where something's not changing drastically. Like mm-hmm. he'll be familiar. Yeah. He won't be the littlest. He's academically very bright. If anything, that's sort of like the challenge, is making sure that he gets what he needs at school. But I was also really pleasantly surprised at how well he did socially last year. He made one really, really, really good buddy who's like his bestie. And that's one where I do hope they're in the same class. I know I can't control it and it'll be fine if they're not, but I do hope they're in the same class. Yeah, so I think I was most worried about him last year, and he had a great year both socially and just adjusting to the new school. I think in general, our elementary school is just going to be so much better this year. It's just a lot of the kinks are ironed out, and there's a lot of like new families, new teachers. You know, when you start something new, there's the initial excitement, and then there's the like, oh,
the reality,
a lot of work. And we all, I think as families at the school, we all had to go through that, you know? And it's not that it's going to be perfect at all, but I'm excited. So yeah, I guess I don't have much specifically about him, except that, I'm excited for him to be with a class of peers that are all his age. Cause I don't think it was a perfect fit to have him as the older in a combination class, but just live and learn. He had a great teacher and a great year, so it was
well. And that's the good lesson is, like, not every school year is going to be perfect,
right?
Not every year is going to be a red letter year. Some years are better than others. I mean, that was certainly my experience as a kid. And you learn that it gets better, or you know, you make changes, and life has ups and downs. And so all of my kids have had ups and downs like that.
And I feel like there's kind of trade-offs each year. So like, where it wasn't great that he was a first grader in a K-1, he did have the teacher that I think was best for him last year. So like, even given the choice again, I might even do that again, because not everything was perfect, but there are trade-offs, I feel like, in every situation. And nothing is, like you said, absolutely, nothing is 100% perfect. And that goes for choosing a school too. You know, there's not really a school out there that is a perfect fit for you. So
I feel like we've made that.
We did.
We've actually.
Yeah, we did a whole episode
about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done some good stuff on schools. So I feel like if you're a new listener, this would be a great time. You don't have to binge listen to our entire catalog, but
though you certainly may.
You may, and many people do. But I'll link up all the school related episodes, because we've done some good ones. So okay. So you're up with Will.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Will is going into eighth grade this year. So he will be big man on campus. You know, Will last year, and I still call him William. I know he goes by Will with most of his friends, but
he's your kid. You get to call him what you need.
He's my kid. I get to call him what I want. Little Willie. He had a really great end of seventh grade. He started off a little rocky. Like I said, like a lot of times seventh grade is at this school is the year kids have a hard time.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case across the country or whatever, but in this particular school, the way it's structured, I think seventh grade is when you really kind of hit the ground running. And he, you know, there was a few bumps. And then like at the end of the year, suddenly it all just came together academically. He found theater, which, you know, is now his thing.
Yeah.
And, like, hangs with the theater kids, which I love.
Love it.
He did a play in his school, and he started getting really good grades without me having to really do a lot. Like, he just started took the initiative.
That's great.
To become a better student. And I feel like he's going to walk in to eighth grade, like,
ready to go.
With, I don't know, theme music playing behind him with a certain swagger. It's so funny. Like, a few weeks ago, he's been bugging me to get him glasses because he's like, I can't see anything. I'm so blind, like, blah, blah, blah. So I took him in, and the optometrist said he does have a very slight, like, very slight farsightedness. So, not farsighted, nearsighted. He's nearsighted.
Okay.
Very, very slight. But he's like, you know, it's worth getting a pair of glasses for school purposes. And I'm thinking, does he really want glasses? Like, is that the new I don't know, status symbol. And right. you put him on, he's just like, oh, these are lit, which apparently now means cool, not drunk like it used to.
Right.
But he's like, oh, these are lit. Next thing I know, he's like Instagramming pictures of himself because he thinks he looks awesome. It's so funny to me. Like, I think in eighth grade, I would have been mortified if I had to have glasses.
And right.
here he is walking around like he's, you know, king of the hill. So I just think he's in a good position to have a good year.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about him, except it's exciting to see him. I think he's going to be nice to his little brother. Like, he yeah. seems like he'll be the kind that'll kind of take him under his wing a little bit yeah. and introduce him to all the right people, you know.
It's so cute.
But they're very, one thing I will also say is they're really, their age difference has become so much more apparent recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, kind of either
Owen.
Sides it's of just, puberty, right? I mean, kind of like,
yeah.
It's a big 2 years.
And for a long time, Jack was right in the middle. So it's Owen's 11, Jack's 12, and Will's 13. And they're all about to have birthdays in the next, you know, 2 to 6 months.
Right.
For a long time, Owen and Will and Jack were playing together, and William was kind of pulling ahead. And mm-hmm. now Jack and Will mm-hmm. are hanging, and mm-hmm. Owen keeps up, but he's just now he's kind of the
kid
one on the outside. So yeah, he's the kid. So it's just yeah. interesting to see how yeah. that might change this year.
Is eighth grade? I was going to ask about eighth grade. I mean, I don't have any eighth graders, but I'm just remembering back. Does it feel like a sort of graduation year all year? Is there testing? Is there talk about high school? Like, does that start right away?
No, I don't think it starts right away. In my memory, it's been a few years, but to my memory, a lot of that happens at the end of the year. So okay. they do start talking about like where your placement is going to be in high school and all that stuff. But I don't remember being inundated with that until like spring. I think they have a little time to ease in.
Just
and not
enjoy.
Feel
enjoy
like,
being.
And yeah, not... And not feel like eighth grade is like a test for high school, because
right,
I don't
right.
think they want it to come off that way. There's definitely like a graduation ceremony at the end of the year and stuff, but
yeah.
even that's pretty low key. I don't remember it being like something really stressful.
Yeah, oh, that's so good. I feel like I do remember the high school guidance counselors coming down, but it was probably all at the end of the year. That's what I associate with eighth grade was kind of
right.
like
yeah.
Getting
things
everybody.
Are getting real.
Yeah. yeah.
And I do remember there being talk about like the class you get placed in eighth grade will affect like what you can take in ninth grade. So you can't
right.
go from regular math to advanced math necessarily.
Right.
You can't jump. So
right.
I do remember there being some focus on that, but it's not so much that it overshadows everything else, in my opinion. I
right.
don't know. You know, so yeah.
And we might have talked about this already, but your middle school starts the earliest, right? So your Will
yes.
and Owen will
middle
have to be.
Middle school starts pretty well. I think it actually starts around the same time as the high school, but the bus comes super early because the middle school is the one out kind of out in the country.
Okay.
So because the middle school is the newest building. So the
okay.
middle school is like a 10-minute bus ride.
Okay.
So they have to catch the bus really early. And then I think it starts at 7:25 or 7:30. And then, yeah, the high school starts like 10 minutes after that.
Okay.
But because we live half a mile from the high school, it means my high schoolers don't have to get up as early. So
yeah. this is, I feel like start times is always a hot button topic. I feel like
yes.
it's something that is changing. If you have really tiny kids and this is not on your radar, I promise you'll start to see discussions of it because, you know,
yeah.
at least I
it
hear
is.
There's all kinds of research saying that the teenagers are the ones who literally cannot wake up early. Like their brains.
And they need, yes.
Yeah, they need their sleep, but they also can't go to bed at 9:30 anymore,
right.
9 o'clock. So,
yeah.
I know here locally, our public middle school. Now, my kids, if we stay at this charter school, it's all together. That's K through 8th. But our public middle schools, our regular neighborhood middle school, starts later than our neighborhood elementary school, which I think is the sort of forward thinking way to do things and seems to be
yep.
a good deal. They don't start till like 8:25. But I
think that would make a big difference. And they may, you know, change that at some point. It's funny, William's first year of middle school, he was great about getting himself up on time. He was never late. Like, he was the first person up. He was out. Usually he left before I even knew he was up. He was just quiet and he would just get himself up and get breakfast and go. And last year he missed the bus kind of a lot. And I
okay.
think his sleep patterns are changing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that's going to happen with Owen, who has never really been a naturally, like, Will's always been the kind of kid who puts himself to bed when he's tired and gets
mm-hmm.
up when he's, you know, when he's. Not doesn't need to sleep anymore. And Owen needs a little more help. Like
mm-hmm.
he needs help getting up in the morning. So could be an interesting year. I am curious how that's all going to play out.
Yeah.
And hopefully Will won't be missing the bus all the time.
Yeah. Well, that is actually a good transition because my entering fourth grader is Allegra, has started to sleep in this summer for the first time. You guys know, if you're a longtime listener, you know my kids are ridiculously early risers. So we've never, ever had to wake our kids up for school. This summer, she has started sleeping. Now, when I say sleep in, I mean like 8, which for my kids is like really sleeping in. She's gone past that a few mornings, but I would say like she's coming down between 7:30 and 8 a lot of the time. Right. And I've been letting her mm-hmm. stay up later. I've just told her, I think you need about 10 hours. So you can stay up later if you're sleeping 10 hours. So you can stay up till 9:30 if you're sleeping till 7:30. But if you start coming down at 6 o'clock, I'm going to start putting you to bed earlier. So she's been feeling really like big kid about that. She's staying up and reading and doing art in her room, and she feels really cool. And so this will be different. So, I guess to back up, so she is at the same elementary school as Reed. So I talked about that a little bit. She's going into fourth grade. They do start pretty early. So they start at 7:50. Brian drives them on his way to work, which is great for me. So they leave our house and they get dropped off a little bit early. They can play on the playground and stuff, and that allows Brian to get to work. So they usually get dropped off at maybe 7:30, 7:35. So that's going to be interesting. This is the first fall where I'm having to think about, like, we need to transition her to a little earlier bedtime and getting up earlier. I'll need to wake her up about 6:45, 10 to 7 maybe. So fourth grade, she also was in a mixed age class last year and was also the top half. So she was in a 2-3 as a third grader. And again, I don't think that was the best fit for her. She spends her whole life as the oldest. She's always the oldest sibling. Yeah. She's the oldest in the neighborhood, and she's really good at it. She's so sweet with the younger kids and nurturing, but I start to feel bad for her after a while. Like, it's not that she doesn't have friends her own age. It's just that she's always looked at as like, oh, Allegra will play with the little kids. Like, she'll keep everybody in line. And like, I kind of want her to have her own, not only her own peers, but hopefully some older kids to look up to, because she just is, like you talked about with Will, you know, they start to pull away and be ready for the next phase. So for her, that's more pulling away into like tween, preteen, which I want her to, like, that's what they're supposed to do. And so hopefully she'll be in like a true fourth grade. I think they're not having quite as many combo classes this year. And I do have a teacher that I'm crossing my fingers for. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much, but there is one fourth grade teacher that I just like really have a lot of respect for, just based on the 1 year. Again, I don't, but, so her third grade year was fine. She needs, I think she needs a little more structure academically than she had last year, because our school was like the wild, wild west. So I wouldn't say she's behind, but I would love if she had a teacher who really had it together academically. You know, I think she's going to learn cursive. She needs to learn her multiplication facts. I don't think that kind of slipped through the cracks in third grade. It's not like it's too late, but it's interesting with math. Just on a side note for any like teachers out there, I'm sure Megan, you've noticed things with your kids. She's really good at conceptual math. Like, she understands concepts really, really well, but man, she has a hard time with the memorized facts. And so as she's gotten older, that's just become a wider gap, because you guys know me, I'm not like a flashcard mom at home. I really don't like to sit my kids through drills at home. But at the same time, I can see why the teachers want you to for certain kids, because it's amazing how high level she can be with the way she understands math concepts, and yet how far she has to go on her fast track. Well, so,
And that's, I think that's so common. Like, I think kids tend to be good at one or the other. And when we were growing up, it was more about recitation and knowing the facts and plugging them into a formula. And now most of the, you know, the new math, I'm making quotes right now, air quotes, is really more, way more conceptual. The problem I've noticed is and I've gone through this with different kids and different teachers. My kids have now had a million teachers.
Right.
I'm at the point now where people will be like, what did you think of so-and-so, like one of these sixth grade teachers? And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember. Do you know how many kids of mine have gone through that school? Anyway, I think that in the rush to adopt newer math, or what do they call it? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm
there's Common Core.
There's a name for it. Yeah, that's the other one, though. Before it was Common Core, it was called something else. Okay. It'll probably pop into my head at some point. But it was like this newer math version of math. It's been around
since Singapore?
Jacob was little.
Singapore
not
math?
Singapore.
Okay.
No, different one.
Okay.
It'll pop into my head. But so when When they started teaching that, I think they didn't, not all teachers then prepared the kids for it equally. Yeah. So some were so focused on the new math that they forgot, like, if you don't know how to add in your head, you can't engage in the conceptualization because it takes you forever just to get anything done. And so a couple of my kids, I remember being like bored to tears, like crying, not bored, even frustrated because they wanted to move on, but they were like stuck.
Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah, no, and but I can see that. And I've always kind of, you know, come down on the side of I like this hands-on way of understanding math. And I think in general, we're on to something, even with Common Core. Like, I know people make fun of the homework and the worksheets, but I think if the teachers are well-trained and the concepts are rolled out correctly, I still think there's a lot of good things about the way we're teaching math. But you're totally right. It doesn't remove the need for those memorization of facts. And I think, for some kid, that's just harder. And I think her third grade year, some of that slipped through the cracks with some of the stuff that was going on at the school and in her classroom. And I'm just not the mom to make her do multiplication facts over the summer. I should be.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll see.
And I think teachers who are able to balance them both sometimes are kind of going against the grain and almost like being a little rebellious.
Right.
So in my experience, it was the older teachers who felt like they had the right.
Yeah.
And were just like, hey, I know what works, so I'm going to do it. And it was harder for some of the younger teachers, I think, to like push back a little bit. So
I still can't
believe I don't remember what this math is called. But,
we forget how, like, imagine if you had your job as a whatever you do and someone came in and was like, well, you get to keep your job, but we're going to change everything about how you do it. So I think we need to cut teachers a huge amount of slack for as these programs change and curriculum changes, that they're not, it's not like a given. It's not like you just hand them a new textbook and say, this is what you do.
Right.
It's fundamental shifts. So I have like the utmost respect and also empathy for teachers who are having to go through these changes. And also it would be nice if my kid learned multiplication at some point.
Oh, and I remembered. It's called Everyday Math. Everyday Math. That's what it was called. That was the curriculum that my kids had before Common Core was such a buzzword.
Okay. Maybe that's a Michigan or a Midwest thing, or maybe it just was earlier than when I started paying attention. So, that was a lovely digression, but that's Allegra.
A lovely segue
with my fourth grader. So now I feel like you can talk about high school, Isaac, and then if you want to update on what Jacob's doing too. So,
So this is a big leap. We're going from fourth grade to 12th.
Yeah.
Isaac is going to be a senior this year.
Your second senior.
My second senior. Yep.
Yeah.
Jacob graduated last year. So Isaac, as we speak, is in Thailand because a friend of his, this is a funny,
I did not know this. No.
Okay. So about a year ago, Isaac tells me, hey, if some people invited me to Thailand next year, could I go? And I'm thinking like, like there's absolutely no way these details are all going to come together. And I don't even know who he's talking about. Well, it turns out one of his very best friends, Dad, lives most of the time and works in Thailand. And so his friend Ethan goes out there every summer for like a month. And Isaac just didn't let it go. And finally, you know, it was like 4 or 5 months ago. And he finally said, okay, Mom, if I'm going to do this, I need to get a passport. Like, there's all this stuff I have to do. And I was like, oh, you're really serious about this. So we talked to the dad and got some more details. And turned out the plane ticket was pretty cheap. He worked really hard for a few months washing dishes in a restaurant and saved up a bunch of money, enough for the plane ticket. And then his grandma and John and I all chipped in some money for him to live on while he's there. And a couple of weeks ago, he boarded a plane for Thailand.
That's amazing.
So he's been there. I know. And I feel like this is going to be one of those where he's going to come back changed.
Yes.
Like something just tells me he's already kind of a different kid. He's pretty serious. He's hilarious, but he just kind of, I don't know. He's just kind of straightforward and he takes things seriously. That's really the only way I can put it. And I think he's going to come back different. So
he's also a good age. I mean, he's almost 18, right? So I feel like
he'll be 18 this coming month.
Yeah. So I feel like that is, he is old enough to really have the perspective for that to be a life-changing trip. I feel like if you do that when you're 14 or something, you're just trying to maybe like
a little too young,
get drunk in your hotel room or I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what you're doing, but
He sent me a text. We haven't texted that much. I've been trying to be kind of hands off. And plus, we're 12 hours apart. So he's getting up while I'm going to bed. And it's just, you know, it's a little off. But he did text me early on when they first got there. I said, how is it? And he said, it's really bizarre here. It's like ultimate excess or squalor. And I said, well, what are you in? And he said, well, I'm in excess right now, but we're moving to squalor soon. So that's kind of like the last time I heard from him. But it's kind of great because his friend that he's with has been Snapchatting with Jacob. So I kind of get...
Oh, good.
Like updates on what they're doing, but I don't have to be texting him all day, which yeah. I would prefer not to.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of letting him have his thing. And, but I know where they are and I know yeah. they're safe and all that. And they're doing fine, and he'll text me if he needs money or something, but I guess are having a good time. So anyway, all that is to say, like, when he comes back, I don't know what to expect. He could be like, you know what, you guys, let's just throw off all these, you know, trappings of a Americanized life and do, who knows? I'm yeah. like, really kind of excited. Otherwise, I think he's going to have a good year. He had a solid year last year. Isaac's just kind of a kid. He's just a solid kid. He's like quiet, kind of reserved. Doesn't get into trouble. But he's not boring. He's just, you know, he's right. a good kid. And, he's a good enough student. He's as good as he wants to be
yeah.
as far as being a student. He comes home and he plays his guitar for like 3 hours a night. So I know he could be spending
yeah.
more of that time on homework, but I kind of like that he has the discipline to do that yeah. as well. So,
yep.
Gosh, I don't know. And I don't know what his plans are for after school. He's tossed a few things around and I have a feeling that's going to start solidifying in
yeah.
the next couple of months. So that's
yeah.
cool. I'm excited for him to be a senior. I think it's going to be a good year for him. Now, Jacob graduated a year ago. And the deal was, you know, he didn't know what he wanted to do. And I certainly did not want him to run off and go to college with no idea of what he wanted.
Right.
So I said, you know, you have a year that you can live with us if you want to rent free
mm-hmm.
and just kind of figure stuff out. And he actually lived, he's been at our house a lot, but he actually lived with my sister in Lansing for about 5 or 6 months, had a job, learned how to use public transpo, like stuff that you just really can't.
Yeah, adulting.
We live in a tiny town.
Yeah.
Adulting. Yep. He figured out some adulting. And then I think he got a little homesick. And then a lot of his friends came home for the summer from school. Mm-hmm. So he's been at our house most of the summer. And then I think at some point, you know, soon he's going to make a move one way or the other. And with Jacob, it's going to be like one day he's just going to tell me what he's mm-hmm. doing. It's going to be like, I'm moving in with some friends. That idea has been passed around. Like, I'm moving to a different town. Mm-hmm. I'm going to school. Like, I really have no idea. He knows his deadline is kind of coming.
Mm-hmm.
So if he needs help with anything, he'll let me know. But otherwise, I'm kind of waiting to see what he decides. And it's so funny because one day he said, like, well, what were you doing at my age? I was like, Jacob, I was pregnant with you at your age. Like, I was fully adulting at that point.
Yeah.
Not well, but I was doing it. So
yeah.
it's just, kids are very different. My sister was just telling me the other day that like today's 19-year-olds are on the same emotional level as like our 14-year-olds were.
Yeah.
There's some research about that. And that does not surprise me at all. So it's really hard to kind of walk that line between back in my day, you
yeah.
know, we did things X, Y, and Z, and then understanding that that's not the reality for kids today.
Right.
And supporting like what the real reality is. And
yeah.
also not getting too hung up on ages and
yeah.
being like, oh my gosh, he's 19. He should be doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
When knowing he's got a long time to figure stuff out. So
yeah.
I find myself like daily having to like battle that out with myself. And,
yeah.
and one thing I will say, like in the last year, and especially since living with another family for a while, like he came back really much more in tune with what it takes to run a household, what it takes to be in a family, like what his responsibilities are. And that's a
yeah.
big move because of all my kids, Jacob was definitely the one most checked out on that. Like just
yeah.
kind of did his own thing and didn't think about how it, what he did affected
yeah.
other people in the house. Some of that's the older brother syndrome. He's
yeah.
got four little minions
yeah.
to do whatever he wants for, you know, and it's like, why would he clean up his own dishes when
yeah.
he has four younger siblings he can make do it. But I think also he's just understanding like, with some maturity comes the understanding that you're not the only person.
Yeah.
In
I yeah, the world. I know
and
going
like,
away,
you know,
going far away to college, I think was a total shift in mm-hmm. how I appreciated my family. I mean, I think I've said I wasn't a very fun teenager to be around. I wasn't bad. I just
yeah.
didn't like my family very much
weren't.
And I don't think they liked me very much
yeah.
for, you know, for part of the time.
yeah.
And I feel like it didn't take long of being away to where I wanted to
yeah.
call home. I wanted to go home. I appreciate my siblings who were growing up and I was
yeah.
far away. You know, you just yeah, it's a great yeah. Well, I love hearing you talk about
yeah.
Jacob because I feel like I'm hearing what you say and it's no different, you guys. If you have a 3-year-old that you're worried is not going to be potty trained before preschool or whatever
right.
it is, like finding the balance between challenging them to step up to what they're ready for, but also trusting that they're on their own timeline And, you know, they're going to get there. So it's so similar. It's so parallel.
It is. And I have to share really quickly that Jacob and I had a conversation a few months ago where I was visiting my sisters and I was talking to him one night and I totally didn't mean for it to, but I guess I must have had that concerned mom voice on, like, what are you going to do with your life? And like, it just rubbed him the wrong way. And I didn't think I was being judgy at all, but I'm sure I came across as, I don't know, just kind of inquisitive to a, to sort of an intrusive degree. And I got this text from him, like this really mean, mad text in the middle of the night, like, I'm not out partying, I'm not out drinking, like, I'm not doing all this stuff that other kids are doing, and like, why are you on my case so much? And I apologized. It was like, I didn't mean to be, like, totally not my intention. I'm worried. My job as a mom right now is to separate from you and worry about you. I can't help it because I have to separate from you. That's life. But I have to worry about you because I'm doing that. And then he wrote back and was like, I know, I'm not mad at you. Like, I love you. I think you're doing a good job. Like, it was just this hilarious, like, he lashed out like a toddler. I know. I did. And then I kind of like explained the way you would to a preschooler why you did what you did. And then he got it. I mean, but there's still conflict. There's still tension. I think at this age, there can't help but be tension between adults and their kids.
Supposed to be. And you are allowed to like experience that as tension and some grieving within yourself, just as you know, you are when your baby's going to kindergarten or whatever. This got deep. I love it. We didn't mean to get deep. I love this. I am. So let's wrap up and a couple of reminders before we wrap. So a few housekeeping things. First of all, next week, so next episode, which will be 116, we're going to continue the back to school discussion, but we're going to flip things around and talk about what back to school is like for us moms. Even if you have really tiny kids and, you know, it's sort of just a pie in the sky idea, you still get that fall, like that fall energy. I feel like even when I had toddlers at home, the world around you is going back to school and it feels like it's time for something. So we're going to flip the script, talk about how back to school can be fun and inspiring for moms, whether you're working outside the home or at home full time. So that's first of all, tune back in. Real quick, you guys heard us announce our live show in Newport Beach coming up on August 23rd, which when this airs will be about a week away. It is pretty much sold out. If you're local, check it out. See if you can grab a ticket. We are probably going to waitlist status. We're going to squeeze as many as we can comfortably into the beautiful new mom school in Newport Beach. But I wanted to tell our listeners around the country to find the event page on Facebook. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's linked to our Facebook page. That's where the discussion around the event will happen. And that's most likely where we will do a Facebook Live. And so you can feel like you're kind of there. And I think all you have to do is say that you're interested in that event and then it will kind of show up in your feed. I think that's how that works. So go ahead and find that. And then Megan, do you want to just remind people quickly about the course you have coming up? And then we'll talk more about that next week as well.
Yeah, and we'll definitely go into that because it fits really well with next week's topic. But I am teaching a class that starts in September, September 12th, and it's called Mothers of Reinvention Foundations. And that is, you know, the class that's going to lead to a to a more advanced class down the road. But Foundations is basically like getting just exactly what we're talking about with this back to school energy, kind of making time for yourself, prioritizing, figuring out what's really important to you so that you can do, so you can live your life with intention and do the things that matter to you. And if you want to know more about that class, just go to the show notes and find, we'll link to it in the show notes for this episode, or you can search for Mothers of Reinvention in just on our website, themomhour.com, and you'll find the page that describes the class, how it's going to be structured and where you can sign up.
And when does it start again? Can you remind people in case they're
behind? It starts on Tuesday, September 12th.
Tuesday, September 12th, we're in 2017.
If it's 2020 right now or something, look us up. We'll probably be doing something different.
Yeah, we'll be, there'll be something for you to do. It won't be the live event or Mothers of Reinvention, but we'll have something going on.
Right.
Okay. Well, this was fun, you guys. Happy back to school. Would love to see your kids' pictures and, you know, just hear from you on how back to school is going for your little ones. And again, I'm a broken record here, but I will link to all of our other school-related episodes in the show notes at themomhour.com. This was episode 115, and we've got some really, actually really good content that we have done on different aspects of the back to school experience. So definitely check those out if you're a new listener. So, all right, everybody, we will talk to you next week.